This is Laura Dierda with the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. I'm thrilled today to be joined by Lyndon Edwards, Senior Vice President of Loma Linda University Medical Center in California. Lyndon, it's a pleasure to have you on the podcast today.
Thank you, Laura. It's a pleasure to be here.
Now, before we begin the questions, could you please tell us a little bit about your background and a few points of pride at Loma Linda University Medical Center?
Certainly. Laura, my role at the medical center is to have sort of operational oversight for our adult hospitals. That includes our main medical center, University Hospital, our East Campus Hospital. We have another hospital that we call our surgical hospital. These are all different facilities under the same license. And also our behavioral medicine center. These are all in Loma Linda, California, in Southern California, in San Bernardino County, which is the largest sort of a geographic county in the country. So a huge landmass in Southern California, east of Los Angeles, and right up against the Arizona and Nevada border. So that's my sort of general responsibility, is to, you know, provide oversight for those facilities. Loma Linda is part of an academic medical center. So there's Loma Linda University, who we share a campus with, that is a over 100 year, 110 years, right in this location, that I believe has graduated more medical students than any other university on the West Coast. So it's been here a long time and graduated a lot of physicians and nurses. We have a dental school. So it's kind of what you think about in a sort of a big academic medical center. And where I am sitting right now is the main teaching hospital for that university. So lots of residents and fellows and students are part of our mix of staff who care for our patients. Loma Linda is a Seventh-day Adventist organization, and we take great pride in our faith-based status. We're very proud of our values that really drive us to care for our community. We have worldwide connections, so we have sort of a connections all over the globe, as we've sort of spread out over the course of a century in caring for patients in many places around the globe. So that's one of our the things that people think about when they think about Loma Linda, is our global outreach. Many of the students and our staff who work here are sort of bounded by the mission of caring certainly for our community and our region, but also the ability to do mission work in areas of great need. Almost any area around the world where there's great need, there's a Loma Linda presence, whether it's through student rotations, residencies, short-term mission trips. That is sort of a core to who we are at Loma Linda. You know, a lot of people probably also are familiar with Loma Linda because we were the first proton treatment center back in the 70s. So we've sort of the originator of that care process for cancer patients at a large scale in this country. Continue to have a very active proton treatment center here at the medical center. We are also, and we'll probably talk a little bit more about this in throughout the podcast, we are right on the cusp of doing something that, you know, most people in healthcare don't get a chance to do in their careers, which is close a hospital, actually a major hospital that I'm sitting in right now, the University Hospital, and move into a brand new facility. Sometime this summer, we will be closing down our current University Hospital and moving into a brand new facility, double the size that we've been building over the last, we broke ground in 2015, we hope to move in this summer. And that was as a result of California seismic requirements that really changed. And so a lot of hospitals in California have had to adjust to building refurbishing hospital buildings to meet current seismic requirements. So we are anxiously looking forward to that. It's a huge project that takes a lot of planning and work on everyone's behalf to figure out how to close a hospital and open a new one. And we look forward to spending a lot of time this summer mapping that out.
Oh, fantastic. That is really exciting to hear that you're getting right up to the finish line of being able to move into that new hospital and open that up and have a great new facility for your staff and your physicians and your patients. So that sounds very exciting. In light of that, what are some of your top priorities today and how do you see them evolving over the next year? Are they mostly tied to that new hospital or are there other things really top of mind for you as well?
Well, you know, when we started 2020, so last year, we had a big sort of retreat in Palm Springs area, which is probably about, you know, 40, 50 miles away from where we are, to talk about our planning for the new hospital. And that was going to be our most significant focus for 2020. And of course, you know, everyone's world changed with the pandemic, and that certainly elevated our day-to-day discussion and planning, like, you know, like everyone else, while we continue to try our best to stay focused on the work that was required to figure out our strategies around moving. So yes, it continues to be our top priority. We certainly have help. We have outside consultants who are helping us to plan the move, but it has and continues to take a significant portion of our leadership at every level, their time to think about how you're going to work in a different environment. One of the most challenging aspects is our nursing units are going to be completely reconfigured. So we are moving from a 9-floor building into a 16-floor building. And the unit configurations are going to be significantly different. So even trying to work through how that is going to proceed, it has been a significant challenge for our nursing leaders and our physicians, because now where they round and the teams that they round with are going to change. So I think we've pretty much figured all of that out, but that still requires a lot of sort of a change management, both sort of mentally and then how are all these things going to work? You know, the logistics of moving supplies and that kind of a thing. It's really... that's not part of your everyday thinking because things are how they are. You make adjustments, you make improvements. This is a sort of a complete change. So it's challenged our leadership to, while we're focusing on COVID and patient care, also to not lose sight of that reality that is, you know, coming at us like a, you know, a freight train. We have to also be in that mode as well. So that is a significant part of what we talk about and think about. We have regular meetings with all of our teams to continue to map out the planning of the move and how we're going to operate in that environment. So yeah, that's a significant part of the what we're working on today and trying to work through all of the steps to make sure that the move is as seamless as possible. You know, and it's of course COVID also obviously takes up a significant amount of our time and resources. Right now, one of the things that I'm working on is sort of a recovery. We have just went through another shutdown of our mostly our ambulatory surgery areas or elective surgery, pick your terminology, but we had shut down except for the most acute surgery. So now we're planning the sort of a gradual ramp back up and opening of several locations on our campus that we've closed. And, you know, that, it, you know, closing is actually a lot easier than ramping back up. So that is taking a significant amount of, you know, time and energy to work with our surgeons and our perioperative leadership team to move in that direction, while also being flexible enough to react to any surges in volume of COVID patients. And we are a regional referral center, so we also have to, you know, make sure that we can take care of regional referrals for a higher level of care. So that's been a challenge. We meet pretty much every day. In fact, I think I have my daily 11:30 meeting coming up shortly as we continue to talk about those processes.
Fantastic. Well, it sounds like there is a lot going on for you, whether it's with the new hospital or ramping back up from some of the COVID-19 surges and restrictions. Now, before we wrap up the conversation, I wanted to briefly ask you about leadership. Can you share three pieces of advice for emerging leaders today?
I've now been at this, and at this is, you know, sort of healthcare leadership roles for about 25 years in two different locations. And I get the opportunity to work with young emerging leaders. I always have a, probably over the last 20 years, I've always had a administrative fellow or resident who's worked with me. And, you know, one of the things I always tell them, if you're going to be successful, and I'm just mapping this based on my career and what I think has really helped, is you constantly need to be in a learning mode and open to learning. And there are multiple ways, obviously, to learn beyond sort of a reading books or, you know, making sure you're keeping up on healthcare news and, you know, journals and that kind of a thing. And those things are important. But here's what I would just say in terms of learning and what I share with those folks that I have an opportunity to mentor. Never say no to an assignment or treat it as less than important. Healthcare is so complex that one of the things that I've learned over my career is that it's impossible to understand how every part of what we do works and how it connects to something else. So every opportunity to do an analysis, to work on a particular problem on quality or process improvement is an opportunity to learn more about your organization, to learn more about healthcare and how it connects to what we ultimately do, the care of patients. One of my first assignments as an administrative fellow at administrative resident is the term that we used at University of Florida 25 years ago, was I was assigned to start a valet parking program, which still exists many years later. And for some people, that's the thing that I'm most famous for at the University of Florida. But that opportunity, which seems sort of a mundane, wow, okay, parking cars, I learned so much about appointments and arrival times and how that was part of the front door and a significant part of the marketing of a hospital, and that sort of a welcoming of our patients that will help them to think about using our services in the future. So connecting the dots, even in what can seem like a sort of a mundane aspect of the operations, is something that I tell folks, be excited about this opportunity to learn more through analysis, meeting with people, understanding what people do in the organization. And that leads me to sort of my other thing that I love to do and I share with folks, that here's how you learn about your organization: by talking to frontline staff, spending time with them and giving them a comfortable place to explain what they do, what the challenges that the sometimes the system and our processes have set up that makes it difficult for them to do, hearing about their successes in their work. So it's generally known as rounding, and that's something that I love to do and I do on a regular basis. It keeps me connected to our teams, and I think it's such an important thing to do for anyone who wants to be a leader. I've never had to clean a room, but I know what our staff who clean rooms, the challenges that they face. And I know that by talking to them and being receptive to their feedback. I believe in this thing called 360 degree mentorship, which means that you could be mentored by anyone at any level of the organization. So early on in my career, I used to just, I had a friend who worked in facilities at the University of Florida. He reported up through me, but we developed this friendship. Just as I was leaving my office at the end of the day, he was doing his thing, and we would just sit and chat, and I would learn so much about healthcare operations from hearing what he shared about his work and housekeepers and, you know, nurses and the ED and patient transporters. That's another group. They go everywhere. They see everything. And, you know, spending time with them is advice that I would give to anyone who wants to be a leader. You'd be surprised how, when you get to these senior level roles and in these meetings, how being able to connect those dots to the numbers that are on a spreadsheet, to the strategic planning, influences how you think about operations and the direction you should go. So my advice to anyone who's looking to be a leader is to understand how care is delivered and how it's supported by spending time with people who do it.
Lyndon, thank you so much for that fascinating discussion and this great advice for emerging leadership. I really appreciate you being here, and I look forward to connecting with you again in the future.
Thank you, Laura. I appreciate the opportunity to share, and likewise.